Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, did that for about 12 years, and a current college professor. I've been doing that for a couple years now. And I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their spaces into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this podcast. I share my failures, I share my struggles, I share my successes, and I share everything I've learned along the way, along with the things that I've learned from reading and research and talking to tons of different people who are out there doing the good work of empowering their students with voice and choice. And so we've been on this project-based learning kick. I know the last episode was about my trip to the Netherlands, and that was about design thinking, but design thinking is actually one of the approaches to project-based learning, so it kind of fits in, right? And so today we're going to be looking at this question of what it means to engage in project-based learning while also teaching to the standards that you have to teach. And that's a very real struggle for a lot of teachers. So it's easy to remember the highlight reels of a project-based eighth grade classroom. I can think about the moment we finished our second mural and my students were so excited that they started to spontaneously cheer, or the moment when students ask thoughtful questions to our guests during an immigration documentary, or the way students continue to surprise me year after year with their blogging projects, or the creativity of their design and the engineering projects we did in our STEM class. But here's the thing, for all of the highlight reels, for all of those successful things that happened, there were also failures. I mean, not just here and there. There were a string of failures. I've made tons of mistakes in my PBL journey. Big mistakes, epic mistakes. I designed project-based units that were cringeworthy at best. I mean, they were just straight up bad. Where I had to stop after a few lessons and say, this was a bad idea, I tried something and it failed, and so we're going to completely change course and do something different. And one such project was the great linear equation debacle of 2011. As an 8th grade self-contained teacher, I wanted to prove that our math block could be fully project-based. After a successful statistics project we did, I decided that we would do this really cool project called Linear Equations in Real Life. I challenged students to find examples of linear equations and interview experts who use this skill in their daily life, and then they would develop their own problems based upon that and models and all of this, and the reality is it just bombed. It tanked. It sucked. There you have it. It was not a very good project. Students couldn't find enough real-world examples, much less experts that they could interview. I had assumed they knew more than they did, and the project felt forced, and the end goal was something that they didn't really care about. It wasn't relevant to my students. And to make matters worse, students struggled to determine how linear functions worked, and they couldn't look at a graph and solve what the linear function is. They couldn't do an algorithm. They couldn't solve the equation. I mean, they really didn't understand linear functions and linear equations at all. Now, at first, I blamed my students. I viewed their disengagement as like some kind of laziness rather than confusion. However, after 4 days of a failing project, I realized that this wasn't a problem with them. This was a problem with me. This was a design problem. On a fundamental level, the standards I was teaching didn't fit with the project-based approach I was using. And in my drive for authenticity, I had created something that Dan Myers calls pseudo-context, or fake context. In my rejection of cookie-cutter learning, I had turned PBL into something that was, well, kind of cookie-cutter. At that point, we regrouped and we refocused on a project-based approach with more scaffolding and time for guided practice. And through this process, we scaled back the project, we changed it, I did a lot more direct instruction, and I basically realized that I needed to pay closer attention to the standards. It was a hard lesson in how to align content standards that you have to teach with the project-based learning framework that you know is authentic for your students. So with that in mind, I want to think about how you actually align the standards to the projects. Now, people often debate in PBL whether it should be process-driven or product-driven in project-based learning. But I think there's a third option. We can be learning-driven. In other words, we should start with the question, what do we want students to learn? And let that drive both the process and the product. At times, this looks very, very product-focused. Ask a student in the midst of a NaNoWriMo project where they're creating a novel in a month, and they are focusing on that end result of a finished novel. True, the process is important, but they're going to deviate from it a bit, and that's okay. By contrast, a student in a design thinking project might begin with empathy toward a group, and only later, through working through the process, do they hit a place of ideation and eventually prototyping. For them, it really is about the process. But regardless of this focus, you as a teacher will be focused on what they're learning as they create their project. PBL isn't a license to just ditch the standards or take a break from real learning. It's not the same thing as a pizza party or a field day. And as educators, we need to make sure that our projects lead students to a place where they can actually master the standards. But how do we accomplish this? How do you do PBL when you have a ton of standards to teach? Whenever I mention the Geek Out projects that I did as our Genius Hour, one of the things that I have teachers ask me almost every single time is, how do you get away with teaching whatever you want? Don't you have a ton of standards that you need to teach? And the assumption here is that I've added this additional project to an already packed plate, right? But that's not how it works. See, it's not about packing something in a packed plate. It's about rearranging the plate. We aren't adding anything. We're changing how the plate is organized in a way that honors student voice and choice. The key is to tap into these content-neutral standards, these ones that don't tell you what topic you have to do. So, for example, in our Geek Out blogs, my middle school students had to make sure their blogs included persuasive and explanatory texts. So there were two common core standards. Write arguments to support claims with clear reasons and relevant evidence, and then write an informative explanatory text to examine a topic and convey ideas, concepts, and information through the selection, organization, and analysis of relevant content. So those were the two main power standards. Under that, we had three different research standards. We also had the writing process standards. There were three of those. And there were another three standards that we covered about writing shorter and longer posts. So again, this is a lot of standards. Even though it took a couple of weeks, I think we spent about 2.5 weeks on this, we were actually hitting almost every single Common Core writing standard in the first few weeks of school. And this was at a time, mind you, when a lot of teachers were still focusing on teaching procedures. Notice also how none of these standards mentions specific topics at all. If you go to the original blog post for this, you'll see these are all topic-neutral standards. They're skill-based standards, which means that students get to choose things like skateboarding or fashion or history or video games or whatever else they want. Now, if you're interested in this, by the way, there is a Genius Hour video on this particular blog post. You can use it with your classroom. It's kind of a fun thing that you can check out. You can also download it on from my blog as well. Now, I'm going to give an example of a different project. Our tiny house project, by contrast, required students to master specific conceptual standards with the freedom to use multiple modalities. Here they combine volume, surface area, and proportional reasoning in the standards, along with the standards that had to do with budgeting and finance. So that was the tight. What was loose, though, was the creative process. They could make things how they want it. So there was a whole lot of voice and choice mixed in with this. So a little nuance here that I want to point out. even with this tiny house project in a PBL unit that was problem-based and authentic and all of that, I still had to teach specific skills through direct instruction. I had to demonstrate how to find the volume and the surface area. We had to practice using proportional reasoning to solve spatial problems all around the school. And we went on like a field trip to just practice that skill. But I integrated the direct instruction and skill practice into the project rather than doing a teach first, project second approach. So this wasn't a culminating project. And that piece is significant. So again, instead of an open-ended project, students engaged in this challenge-based project where they had to design a project within very tight parameters. And that actually led to creative constraint that kind of created some really cool creative breakthroughs. So you probably noticed that I just mentioned two different approaches to project-based learning. One is a topic-driven approach, one is an inquiry-driven approach. And so that's one of the things to keep in mind as you pick up standards and attach them to the specific PBL model that you're going to use. So if you notice in the previous two examples, these are vastly different approaches. And that's not a bad thing. There's no one single way to do PBL. Sometimes the best option is an open-ended topical project. Other times it's inquiry-based. Still, other times you might go with this empathy-driven design thinking project, something we've talked about a lot on this podcast. So there's a lot of different approaches. I'm going to briefly go through the different models. There's five different models. So the first model is the inquiry-based model, and this is where what you're doing is it's driven by student questions. And in terms of the standards, you want flexible content standards. So things where they're kind of really loose on the specific topics and concepts they have to learn with very specific skill standards. And the key thing is the standards must allow students to ask their own questions and find their own answers. If that's not happening, you're not going to have an inquiry-driven PBL model. The second model is the interest-driven model. And this is where you have content-neutral standards with specific skill standards. So it's similar to the inquiry-driven model, but instead of flexible content standards, you just straight up have content-neutral standards with specific skill standards. The standards must allow students to pursue their own interests. And so I'm going to give a couple examples. In the inquiry-driven model, you might do the Wonder Day project, which I've alluded to before, where students go out, they ask their own questions, they find their own answers and stuff. Whereas in the interest-driven model, you might do something like a Genius Hour project and an independent project, 20% time, that whole idea. The third model is the project-driven model. And in the project or product-driven PBL model, students know in advance that they are going to create a product. They might be doing a NaNoWriMo project to write a novel in a month. They might be doing Scratch video game projects, and they know that they're going to create a product of a video game. And that's what's driving them. They are driven to finish this product that they want to make. And again, there's some pushback in the PBL community who are very process-driven, but I would say authentic projects sometimes are product-driven, and that's not a bad thing. The key thing here is that there's varying flexibility on both the content and skill standards. And so sometimes you're giving them a topic to go with, a theme to go with, but there should be some built-in choice in terms of what they're going to create. And then you're going to have some specific skill standards, but you're giving them some freedom, right? There's a little more freedom on the process. And the key thing here is that the standards must fit within the idea of designing a tangible product. So this is not, for example, the time to align it to the standard on linear equations. That you're just not going to use linear equations to make products very often. Or this is not the ideal time to do phonics work, right? It has to be something that you would actually use in creating a product. The next model, so we've got the first three models. The fourth model is the problem-driven PBL model. And this is where you have specific content standards. So this is a focus on, they're going to attain a specific concept with flexible skill standards. And the idea is that they're learning a concept through solving a problem. So the standards must allow for students to engage in problem solving. And that's the key thing there. They need to be able to do problem solving. And the final one is the empathy-driven one, and that is the design thinking model. Here's where you have varying flexibility on content standards and skill standards. So some of them are a little more tight on what the content is that you're learning. It might be connected to a subject, to a unit, to a set of content standards. And some of them are very tight on the skill standards, but there's varying flexibility, and it depends on what they're actually going to be designing. But the key thing here is that the standards must connect to creative design. They have to be actually designing something on their own. They need to go through the research and the ideation process and ultimately create something. And it must involve empathy with an authentic audience. Now, I want to note that sometimes you're going to use a hybrid approach, and that's okay. For example, I've combined elements of inquiry-based learning when I had students do interest-driven PBL. So even though they were doing their Genius Hour project, we had this inquiry-based phase within it. Many of our design thinking projects also had elements of problem-based PBL. And every single PBL approach has some element of product-driven PBL. So there's a lot of overlap between these, and that's okay. But the key thing here is that there's typically one thing that's driving them, and that's where the word drive is important. So what is driving the PBL process? And again, it could be inquiry-driven, it could be problem-driven, interest-driven, so on and so forth. So if you check out the blog connected to this, there's some more details on the different models, some videos that connect to it. And the key thing to understand, though, is this. It is possible to teach with the PBL framework while also hitting the standards. But this requires that you, as a teacher, think creatively about how you teach. And that is kind of tough. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. I made tons of mistakes. I obviously began with a mistake that I made, right? But it can help to begin with questions like, what is the authenticity in the standard? Where outside of school might a student actually practice this standard? Is this a connecting standard, a process standard, a concept standard? Where is the freedom built into the standard? How does this standard fit with other standards? The key thing is that you're being intentional and you're thinking critically about the standards that you teach. And ultimately, when this happens, students are able to master the standards at a deep and profound level while also engaging in meaningful work and powerful projects. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Thank you for listening. Have an awesome day and go out and